NPR Inskeep.
And NPR Montaigne. Please join us on Twitter. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, May wheat, 547 up 4, July, 552 and a half up 3 and 3 quarters. Soft May wheat, 503 and a quarter up 4, July, 507 and 3 quarters up 3. May corn, 390 down 1 and a quarter, now down 1 at 90 and a quarter. July, 398 down 1 and a quarter. December, 14 and 3 quarters down 1. May beans, 968 and 3 quarters, now a half down 6. July, 972 and three quarters, down 6. November, 949, down 6 and a quarter. May soybean meal, 321.70, down 70. May soybean oil, 3056, down 61. April live cattle, 162.05, up 37 and a half. April feeders, 219.30, up 207 and a half. And April lean hogs, 61.15, they're up 17 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, technically speaking this week, Mike, if you believe in foreshadowing, is the market trying to tell us that next Tuesday we'll see something neutral to bullish corn and something bearish beans?
Yeah, I mean, I think they felt very confident and comfortable in buying the corn and selling the beans heading into that Tuesday report. I'm not sure whether they want to really buy the flat price, and it kind of goes along the same pattern that we've seen when you've seen the dollar give mixed signals and strengthen after a pullback. And you've seen, you know, in the wheat a lot of drama. In fact, it, you know, started out the wheat, a week in wheat, a very, very strong, going up to 1.5 month highs, looked like a Swan Lake.
Yeah, it's been a Shakespearean festival.
Yeah, now it's a Greek tragedy after, you know, heading into the end of this week. And I don't think the trade can anything but help help notice that, Dave. And so that pushes them back into a spread trade. And all month long, really, I mean, if you look since the end of February, these corn has really gained a lot, over 5% on the November beans. And so I do think that even though the stocks report could be exceptionally friendly for the demand side for beans and meal, I think the trades felt confident that the acres are going to be there in beans and they're going to be down in corn. And at the end of the day, they probably are saying to themselves, what does the acreage matter when we keep seeing the Brazilian and Argentine crop get bigger? And this is really, I think, the dynamic that is going to play out post-report. It's going to be weather and corn planting weather and whether the South American crop is just so big and so burdensome, you cannot get a rally to ignite, a long rally. A short covering rally, yeah, sure, but can you get really new longs in there? And that's really going to be the issue.
So does that mean that post-report, and if weather is appropriate, that 937, the double bottom in the nose, gives way and we look at last year's lows?
If the corn leads it that way, I think that's exactly what will happen, or near exactly will happen, you know, being very careful about not being too sure about anything in the futures market. But I think what you've seen is the beans have been able to be held up by the corn for the greater part of March because of the weather. So if all of a sudden the corn weather opens up and we see the Delta and the southern corn belt like Tennessee and down by, you know, Cairo South, that would be, I think, in my opinion, something negative for the beans. It would be positive for the bean-corn spread, but I think at flat price, the corn could lead the beans lower after the report if the corn acres are bigger than the trade thinks, and B, the weather opens up.
That's a little bit of a longer-term scenario. How about immediately post-report as we look at the corn market and the potential for corn to make a run 425 to 430?
It's there technically if the wheat and the dollar allow it to be had, Dave. I think this is where, yes, the report will have some say in this, and the weather obviously will have some say in this too, because you're talking about DEES futures and not lead month. But what I have seen this past 6 or 7 months is not a problem with demand in corn, not even a problem with supply in corn. Because look at South Africa. They're importing large quantities of Argentine corn right now. You've got a situation where, yes, the Chinese are buying some Ukrainian corn, but that is, you know, more of a specific, not one-off, but short-term type feature to the market. But I don't think corn has a real supply-demand problem when you take a look at the last 6 months. In fact, the crop shrunk in the last 6 months. I think the real problem and the thing that's determining the corn prices is the Federal Reserve more than anything, and that's translated back through the dollar and the euro and the wheat market. And so, again, if we could get the wheat market to lift off and put a solid low in place, I think the corn market could do a lot. But, yes, technically speaking, to answer your question, that 425 and the 440 high from last December is on the charts now, since we've broken above that 200-day moving average.
Well, the dollar does look like it has found a top at 100, although there are people saying it's in a pause position. I don't know that we could be so lucky to see 95 by Tuesday, but it does appear the dollar is weaker, at least in the short term.
It'd help if we could go below 95.75, especially, because that would take you back below the old highs back in January. It'd take you back below a trend line, and it'd take you back below the 10-week moving average, and that's a big number because we have not been below the 10-week moving average in the dollar going all the way back to June, July of last year. And I think that's where we did test that this week, and we tested the trend line. We tested the January highs. Those three technical indicators held, and that's where, like you say, we could be in a congestion, consolidation period and trying for the upside again in the not-too-distant future. And I could make an argument for that because Greece runs out of money by April 20th, and if Greece doesn't get help by the European community after April 20th, you start talking all over again about Greece leaving the euro, and then you start talking about all over again Great Britain and maybe Spain and maybe Italy leaving the euro as well. And all of a sudden the trade says, well, yeah, the Federal Reserve is slowing down on their potential liftoff, but they're still going to do it at the end of this year. Two big guys at the Fed said that this week, so why not buy the dollar and sell the euro again when we come back in next week?
All right, let's take it all back to the marketplace and be practical about it. We talked a lot about the theory, the technicals, and possible fundamentals. What's a hedger to do today to take advantage of something?
If I'm right about the market pricing in bigger bean acres and smaller corn acres, there's more premium in the December corn. With the way the wheat and the dollar have acted this week, has not been friendly. The way the ethanol has acted this week has not been friendly. I think that adding to some paper hedges and new crop corn would be a good recommendation to make. I would probably hold pat on the beans and wait to see if the stocks report and the weather can open the door to some more bean premium being pushed in, at least to the new crop, because we are, after all, below 950. It's real hard for me to sell below 950 right here going into a report.
I don't want to miss the potential for a volatile move in the marketplace, because historically this report has been a volatile report. So practically speaking, where do I put my orders above the market so I catch it?
If you're looking for a move to the upside to hedge or to sell into, you could get into the 980, 985 level in November beans. That would be close enough to $10 to get some catch-up hedges made, like we talked about a
minute
ago.
And then the corn. And then the corn?
Yeah, and Dease corn above 425 into that 440 level, I think, is a real nice place to go into the middle part of the calendar year and see what planning does for us.
30 seconds open time for you. What do we also need to pay attention to?
Well, we got a hogs and pigs report today, and that's going to be a biggie for the hog people because we got back up above the 6110 major low that we took out late last week, early this week. We've got the CME index and the April futures at par with one another. We've got the cattle at $103 premium to the hogs, so we've got cattle supporting the hogs. Now all we need, Dave, I think, is a good, solid USDA report that's not bearish, and I think we could carve a low out in the hogs.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. May corn 390.5 down 3/4. July 398.25 down 1. December 414 down 3/4. May soybeans 968.75 down 5.75. July 973 down 5.75. November 949.5 down 5.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.